with Mick Molloy and Tony Martin.
And today it's a special royal edition. We've got a sneak preview of that CD by Prince Charles. Parental guidance is recommended. And we'll cross live to all the egg-hurling action as the Queen visits New Zealand. We've got more hidden camera recordings from the Police Royal Commission. And on Radio Gladiators, it's once again a case of bring out your dead as we delve deep into your record collections. On Duet with Pete, we'll attempt our most ambitious number yet. We've got the Fumios, we'll fire up the Incinerator. And joining us live, funny bugger Steve Bedwell. Yes, it's all coming up on Martin Molloy, the program that makes Prince Charles say... That's the artist. He's just the artist.
Yeah.
He's not formally known as anything. He's just the artist.
Is that right?
Yeah, apparently.
We can't call him formally?
No. He's formally. Given the thumbs down to formally. He's the artist formally known as the artist formally known as Prince. He's now just the artist.
Spot
him in the street. It's artist. Artie boy.
Hey, art man.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Just get that protocol right.
I shouldn't be speaking because you haven't introduced me yet.
Okay, I didn't even know who you are till I read it out. My name's Tony Martin, people. The name of the program, Martin Molloy, and beside me, this bloke here, the least known and most enigmatic of the tap dogs, Mick Molloy.
You're all over me, aren't you? I've been practicing day after day. I'll get there.
Will you give us a number before the end of the show?
Oh, I think I could.
Can you get the shoes on and just get up on the table and...
You'll have to lend me your tank top, Tone.
Okay. One at a time.
All right.
Let's get into the music world because as we've been hearing in the media today, Prince Charles has decided he wants to put out a CD. You've got the details. Mm. Tell us about it. Glenn A. Molloy.
Well, he's done it, Tone. And look, I'm not saying it's a dud, but the Queen, I'm thinking, won't need to buy a copy. Mm. She can probably just tune into the Comedy Channel on the flight back from New Zealand. And she'll hear just about everything. That's right. The Prince, he's released this album, and basically he's reciting his favourite bits of Shakespeare. Yeah. It's a spoken word album.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like those Jim Morrison ones. Yeah, except in this instance, well, we're talking Future King as opposed to your Lizard King.
Yeah, right.
That'd probably be the one subtle distinction. Sure. It's not his first spoken word recording.
No.
He has had one previous, which from memory was... Something about becoming a tampon.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah,
I think that went platinum.
Yeah, I think it did. It had the little sticker on the front to, you know, keep the kiddies away.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is the second, and, well, you know, that's usually harder. Tall poppy syndrome. Successful first album, the difficult second album. But I think we'll get there. He's called it The Prince's Choice.
Oh, yeah.
And that doesn't fill me full of confidence. No. I mean, after all, this is the man who's chosen of his own will to go to the Snogfest with Camilla Parker Bowles. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not that too interested in your choices, pal. Thank you very much. I hope it goes well for him. The first single, Macbeth, Tomorrow, 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 is already climbing up the charts. Mm. Everyone at Mushroom are ecstatic because they've got him tied into a 3-record deal.
Have they?
So, very happy.
You've got to watch out for those 3-record deals.
Absolutely. Michael Gudinski, he's a funny one. Molly's flying over to present Charles with the gold record, although I think he's had to cancel all media engagements. Apparently, he needs some rest after the Lollapalooza tour. I keep calling Buckingham Palace to pass on my congratulations, but all I get is a very protective Courtney Love telling me to piss off. Anyway, good on him. Hope it's not all going to his head, because, you know, the last thing I want to read about is, you know, him choking on his own vomit.
Oh, no, you don't like to see that.
Going belly up in the bathtub. No. And there are some danger signs there, I must say, Tone, because, well, I have it on good authority, he's already changed his name to the artist formerly known as Prince Charles.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, he's talking Shakespeare, he's reading out speeches on the album, but obviously, you know, there's a weeding sort of process that goes on, and there were a lot of tracks that were rejected.
Oh, was there?
I've got one here. This is one of the rejected tracks from the Prince Charles album.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make her the cutest that I've ever seen. Not someone like that appalling Camilla. She looks like an extra from Michael Jackson's Thriller. Mr. Sandman, I don't know what's happened. My wife is sleeping with a rugby captain. When she's not at the gym or receiving a massage, she's having hosepipes stuck up her back passage.
Oh, look, I knew it'd have to end up somewhere around there.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
We'll be back with something more tasteful in just a moment on Martin Molloy.
Damned if I know what they're on about.
On the new West.
Don't you forget about me. That's Simple Minds here on Martin Molloy and people. The royal fun continues. Get your little flags out because it's time to present this week's Fumio, which, as we know, is the award we fork over every week to the individual whose behaviour has provided us with the most material over the last 5 days. The Fumio, not to be confused with the Coolio, which is awarded to the person who's used the word gangster the most in the last week. And I think this week it's gone to Jeff Harvey, quite surprisingly.
Oh, Jeff Harvey.
Yeah, his new album, Jeff Harvey's Gangster Reflections, is out now. But back to the Fumios. Mick, the nominees are
Salim Malik, whose alleged willingness to pay sportsmen to perform badly has finally explained Greg Norman's status as golf's top money earner. Mr. Paul Keating, who this week announced to the world that he is in fact a Westie. It's true, when in Melbourne he stays in West Toorak, and in Sydney it's West Double Bay. And I'm sure our interstate listeners can fill in the blanks there.
Absolutely.
British Prime Minister John Major, whose decision to support continued French nuclear testing in the Pacific has made him the second most hated Tory in the world, only just behind Aaron Spelling's daughter.
You weren't saving that one for the Insingerator,
I've broken it open early, Tony.
Okay. Silverchair's Daniel Johns, who took a stage dive and had his pants stolen. The incident has prompted a series of copycat thefts, including an unfortunate scene at a Pavarotti concert in Naples where 25 punters were crushed and a quick-thinking family of five secured themselves ideal accommodation for their upcoming camping holiday.
Yeah, I think you're in there too.
I might join you down there, but the winner, Mickey.
The winner is the Queen! whose presence on a commercial flight, the first occasion in public life she's had to queue to use the throne.
Oh, yes. Well, she's arrived safe and sound in New Zealand. The tour's underway, and I think we've got some live coverage. Let's have a listen.
And welcome to Rotorua, where the Queen and Prince Philip are expected to arrive at any moment. Her Majesty will be met by a crowd of well-wishers, both of them resplendent in Union Jack-patterned jerseys and jandals. The remainder of the 5,000-strong gathering have just completed a rousing version of the traditional anthem, O Glorious Ruler, Heed Our Demand, Get Your Ass Off Maori Land. Oh, and here comes Her Majesty. In a further cost-cutting measure on this 10-day tour, she is driving herself in a second-hand Mark IV Zephyr. And as she emerges, she is met by the time-honoured hail of raw eggs and the much-loved and impressive synchronised bearing of the buttocks. And what a magnificent 200-clacker salute it is. Well, we'll take a break now and join us in a moment for the always enjoyable beheading of the statue of Captain Cook and the Queen's address, which, as custom dictates, will be cut short 25 seconds in by a volley of rotten vegetables and the massed chorus of six-year-olds from local primary schools performing a delightful rendition of Piss Off Lizzie.
Yes, that's Entrance with a bit of live actuality from the Queen's Tour of New Zealand there, here on Martin Molloy.
G'day, Wacker.
G'day, Sarge.
You brought the money?
Yeah, it's all there. 18,000 unmarked bills.
Good on you. Yeah, what about fat bastard Larry?
He's got another 20 grand with your name on it.
He bloody better, else he might be changing his name to Dead Bastard Larry. Dead Bastard.
I think we've seen enough. Sergeant Prentice, is the officer we see on this tape in any way representative of a typical senior member of the New South Wales Police Force?
Definitely not. His gut's too small for starters, and if you look closely, you'll notice that his pants are the correct size.
But he is handing you a considerable sum of money.
Me? That's not me. That tape's been doctored up. Who'd you get to film it?
You filmed it, Sergeant Prentice. Remember, we had you wired up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And you appear to have captured yourself receiving a substantial bribe.
What are you talking about?
Well, the phrase 18,000 in unmarked bills sticks in the memory.
Well, that's easily explained. It's a reference to 18,000 people.
What people?
The 18,000 people who were at Unmarked Bill's nightclub last Saturday.
Unmarked Bill?
Yes, it's a code name we use for a certain Sydney identity.
And Fat Bastard Larry?
Oh, no, he really is fat. And a bastard.
But how do you explain the large wad of banknotes which appear to exchange hands?
It was a loan repayment on my car.
What?
Yes, that's it. Constable McStanger is my bank manager.
Your bank manager?
Yes, he's an undercover bank manager.
Then why is he giving the money to you?
Because I won it.
You won it?
In a bet. I bet him 18 grand I could get him mentioned at the Royal Commission. And look, I was right.
Could you write down his full name and address?
Yes. Could I have the pen and paper music?
Of course.
There you go.
But, Sergeant, this is a cheque for $50,000.
Oh, sorry, I must have mistaken you for a senior constable.
That's Roachford, only to be with you here on Martin Malloy. And people, we've got some treats in store, because in the next hour, well, apart from duet with Pete, how did that go yesterday, Mickey?
Better than ever, in that it was worse than ever. If you know what I mean, there's an inverse kind of thing happening there.
Yeah.
The worse you are, the more enjoyment we get out of it. But we are encouraging everyone to do the... Because the one before was like word perfect and tuneful and brilliant in a whole other way.
But Ebony and Ivory yesterday was... Well, it wasn't one for the time capsule, but everybody concerned had an awful lot of fun.
Absolutely.
So I'll give it the thumbs up. We've got Steve Bedwell coming in the next hour, and Steve's our Adelaide connection here on the program, and he's got news of the Adelaide Clown Wars. Have you heard about the Clown Wars? First, Adelaide gives us the Super Pig. Now they're giving us the Clown Wars.
They're up to something. They're always up to something, that nutty bunch.
Yeah, so Steve's got the full details in the next hour, and attention, Sydney listeners, because you in for a treat tomorrow at Brash's in Pitt Street tomorrow at 12. Noon, midday, you can meet the one and only Lucky Grills.
What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man.
That's right, Lucky will be parking himself at a table and I think signing a few videos. And when I say videos, really, that's a demeaning term, I think, for the piece of cinema. That's what it is. It's bar jars. It's The Late Show Presents Bar Jars.
Now we're talking time capsule.
We sure are. And it's, well, basically we took a bit of Lucky's very fine work, his very fine work in from the 70s, and we vandalised it, we ruined it, we destroyed it, and turned it into a completely new piece of work. And I noticed not one single AFI nomination for Bar Jars.
You know what it is? We've been snubbed.
Is that right?
Yeah, the Oscars. They did it to Barbara Streisand a few years ago. You remember, no director's nomination, no best film. Well, I mean, you know, the same thing here.
Bar Jars, it's a film of sorts.
It's a film. It'll outlast any of those other duds currently on the nomination list. They haven't even been released yet. At least ours is out in the shelves.
That's right.
You can go and have a look at it if you so choose.
At least you can meet the star and get something signed. Where's that talking pig? I don't see it down in Brash's. Where's that bloke that sings like Billie Holiday? I don't see him down at Brash's.
No.
But no, you can get down to Brash's in Sydney tomorrow midday and meet the grill man.
Meet the grill man and be nice and you yak with him and answer his questions and get your things signed. Just a bit of advice. Don't, if he asks you, don't pull his finger. No, he likes to do that at signings. And once he's off, well, you know, sign and get out.
Yeah, remember, there's a lot of protocol with Lucky.
Absolutely.
He can touch you, but you can't touch him.
He's an actor. He's not a stripper, damn it. And is this the only big... Because the other in-store appearances, has he made any? Apart from big men's stores?
No,
you can go down and get in there. He's not signing anything. He's usually just picking up a pair of underpants.
Yeah.
But if you catch him, you can see him for an in-store appearance.
Yeah,
at a big man store.
He'd give you a bit of a lap dance.
Absolutely.
That's the kind of luck he is. Okay, well, this is getting a bit raunchy, so let's get out of here. And people, we'll be back in just a few moments with Radio Gladiators.
This is Martin.
And now on Martin Malloy, it's time to turn our listeners against one another on...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
And we thought we'd end the week with one of the old favourites. It's time to bring out your dead. It's time to get out of the back shed and get the most embarrassing record in your record collection. Bring it out to us. Play a bit of it down the phone and just, well, it's therapy. It's like Oprah. It's a chance to say, yes, I've got this record out the back. I don't mind telling the nation about it. And as always, we're not asking you to do it just on your own. No, we're there as well because I've been out in the Martin Malloy record collection, such that it is. And look what I managed to find. Oh, yes, it's the safety dance.
I'm doing the jig turn.
How does that compare with our own pen and paper music, Gracie? Just put them on at the same time. Yeah, I'm not sure which one really should have been the hit. I think I've heard enough of both, actually. I'm feeling a bit sick.
But when you finish with Gracie with that safety dance, put that aside. I'm having a bit of a night out tonight, and that may come in handy.
Yeah, the safety dance, is it?
Safety dance has worked for me, though. I've often performed the horizontal safety dance, so to speak.
So you're saying that the safety dance is also the forbidden dance?
Well, in some cultures.
What exactly is the safety dance, Mickey? Any idea?
No, but at the end of it, two guys with fire extinguishers rush out put you out.
Is that right?
I don't know. Could be.
Okay.
The safety dance.
We'll leave it at that, I think, because we've heard enough of the safety dance. We want to see what the listeners have gotten. That's you're not doing it for nothing, people.
Who knew?
The Sonny Discman, that's hanging in the balance. It's brought to you by the great Australian Taste, the greatest Australian taste of all 4-20 pies. And, of course, if you win, you go into the draw for the Ford Festiva, courtesy of the Ford Australian Open. Is this open getting any closer yet, Mickey? When is it?
It's just teasing us.
Yeah.
It's teasing us. It's in the new year, not far away now, and it's going to be worth the wait.
And the Ford people are just bringing out everybody, is that right?
Everyone's going to be there. The Queen.
The Queen's
coming out.
Is that right?
Yep. I'm not sure how.
She'll be coming out. She'll be saving the taxpayers' money. She'll be coming out in, the Fair Star, probably.
On the Fair Star. Which will be interesting, wouldn't it? I mean, she's had lots of experience of, smashing champagne bowls on the side of a boat. But let's see her running around the deck in the nutty sculling them. Because that's what she's going to have to do if she's coming Fair Star.
It'll be one is sculling a tube. One is off one's nut.
I knight thee, Sir Drunk Bastard, as she smashes a champagne bottle over their head.
One is enjoying the wet T-shirt competition. She'll have half the Fair Star roped off and there'll be a big steel door.
All the tennis players will be on there too. They'll be dressed, waiting, ready to play tennis.
Boris Becker?
Boris Becker's coming out.
Is he still German?
He's still German. Yeah. He's still got that orange stubble. You know, in the previous years, he ran out and he won the Open. He was so happy to win the Open, he's run out and dived into the Yarra. It took 10 years off his life, and he's never played the same game of tennis since. Yeah. But he did that, because you're nuts. That's how the competition is so fierce. And this is like, on the tennis pyramid, right at the apex, you've got the Australian Tennis Open. It's the cherry on top of the tennis pie.
Yeah, I think it's getting dark outside, Mick. Mm. But
they can play at night.
It's a fantastic.
They can open the roof. They can do anything.
Boris Becker.
Say, name it. I'll bet you they can do it. What do you want them to do? The Ford Australian Open. What would you like them to do?
Oh, I'd like a whole lot of kids to come out with Sigrid Thornton and form a map of Australia, if at all possible.
They can do it.
At half time.
They'll give you the entire globe.
Okay, well, I think enough about the Open.
All righty.
We're champing at the bit for a bit of tennis. I can see that, Mick Malloy. But meanwhile, back at Radio Gladiators, we're talking daggiest record in your collection.
Double
Let's
fives.
Hear it. Call us now. 1-800-657-657. Sophie Hawkins, as I lay me down on Martin Malloy, and we might all be due for a lie down after this segment. It's Radio Gladiators. It's bring out your dead today. It's bring out the daggiest, most embarrassing record in your collection and play a bit down the phone to us. That's our idea of entertainment here on Martin Malloy. I think we need a long, hard look at ourselves. But to introduce the contestants, Mickey.
Well, first up to out himself is Simon. G'day, Simon.
Si, what have you got for us?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
He's had second thoughts.
Yeah, he's. I understand that Simon was going to actually play us a bit of... what was his track, Gracie?
99
Luftballons.
No, yeah.
And Nina. What's 99 Luftballons?
You got balloons. There's 99 of them in there, and they're all coloured Luft.
Luft is red, is it?
Yes.
Red balloons. Mm. So in Germany, do people, what, they go down to Luft Rooster? They pop down for a bit of Luft Rooster? Is that possible?
Luft Rooster. Have we wasted enough time?
It's another case of, I hope people aren't just tuning in, isn't it, here on Radio
And whatever you do when you're over there, don't get caught in their Luft light cameras.
Well, that'll be edited out for the black box recording.
Alrighty. Yvonne, hello.
Are you there, Yvonne?
Is anybody there? Is this just a fruitless exercise?
No, everyone's really, during the Sophie B. Hawkins, they've gone, what am I doing? I'm going to be playing a bit of somebody or other.
Our producer is tapping the phone. That's not an encouraging sign.
No. He's looking very luft-faced at the moment, quite frankly.
Would we like to maybe try this phone?
Is there
anything? Have we got someone on the line now?
Yeah, this is the sound of basically dead air. And tell you what, while we're just trying to fix the phones, Gracie, have you got a bit of the safety dads for us? Because I was enjoying the safety dads before, and I was actually nutting out how the dance is done.
You got any more Luft jokes, Tony? Anything else red? The Luft Baron.
And
he was frightening.
Yeah, he was.
We'll be back in just a moment, people. Just enjoy the safety dance while our producer takes to what is clearly an Optus phone with what to me looks like a sledgehammer. I don't use that phone, Gracie. It doesn't work. He's calling for an ambulance.
Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to cancel rather unceremoniously today's episode of Radio Gladiators, but I think it has provided, despite the contributions of absolutely no contestants today, I think it's actually provided the requisite amount of entertainment.
So who's our winner?
Well, I reckon the prize, Mick Malloy, because, you know, I brought out the safety dance, and so far...
Someone, you're playing.
Yes, I think I am today's winner.
And what have I won, Mickey?
Is there a soddy discman with my name?
You'll get a discman. You might get a new phone if you're lucky. And you go into the super drawer for that fabulous new the Ford Festiva.
Hang on, I'll just act like a contestant. Just tell me I've done that again.
You'll win the Ford Festiva and go into the drawer.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Martin Malloy. And we'll be back in the next hour with Steve Bedwell.
This is Martin.
And in the second hour of Martin Malloy, well, we'll have our most ambitious duet with Pete to date. And if the phones aren't working, it'll certainly be ambitious. In fact, you might have to get out a bit of a can and a bit of string and see if you can link up with Mr. Copperart that way. But, hey, we've got bumcrack aplenty in the studio as a few of the boffins and eggheads take to the phones with, well, blowtorch at this stage. Anyway, we're forging on, and next up we'll be joined by somebody who doesn't need a phone to talk to us. It's one Steve Bedwell, live and in person. And, hey, we understand that the people at Telstra Mobile Net Digital would like to distance themselves from the last segment. Well, like you, that's Edwin Collins here at Martin Malloy. It's the second hour. Are we going out, Gracie? Is this going to air?
Hello.
It'd be just good to confirm that, I think, before I say anything more. If you're just tuning in, people, it's been our best show today. Mm. It's one for the time capsule.
You've missed some sparkling stuff. Trampoline comedy.
Here's what's happened. We've spent about what seemed to me like 10 minutes setting up Radio Gladiators. Mm. We've gone, we're going to have people playing Daggy records. And then we've played a couple of songs. And during the songs, we've got people calling up going, and what were they sitting on? It was absolute bloody gold today. We had people with someone
Luft balloons.
We had someone with a Mexican hat dance. We had somebody else with the Nolan sisters or something like that. Mm. It was just going to be fantastic radio. And we've gone, let's go to the callers, and we've seen our producer basically doing the Mexican hat dance his own self, stabbing at the phone at random, unable to get anything happening.
Yes.
And what's happened is there's some kind of party going on tonight at the station. Everyone's putting on the party gear, and we thought, we'll get some technicians in. And we've gone out, and it's just a whole lot of people in party hats with little paper cups and a bit of a cask.
And they're going, what? Something going to air, is it?
Mm.
But anyway, after a fair bit of work with the soldering on,
someone said, hey, shouldn't this be in the wall?
Exactly. But anyway, we hope that the program from now on will be trouble-free. And to help us out, we're going to welcome somebody who we just can't keep away even by spraying the place with Peebo. It's Steve Bedwell. Steve, welcome on board. Sorry to rope you into such a shambolic program.
I've just gone to scale the dizzy heights of we've previously reached with Radio Gladiators. I've gone for the oxygen. It's the only way I could possibly get up that high under normal breathing conditions.
Yeah, I think last time you were here, we were calling people's answering machines at random. And,
yes.
I think we've really got to have a look at ourselves.
And I was so much looking forward to hearing little Jimmy Osmond's long-haired lover from Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole thing's just turned to dust.
Yeah, well, we might fire it up again next week if we can get some sense out of the text. But, Steve, we've been talking about the Queen and her antics on the plane. Have you been following that?
Well, I got to say, as you guys so eloquently pointed out during the week and during the Fermiaz today, she took her first commercial flight above, of course, Air New Zealand, specially appointed. They did a beautiful fit out on it. And wasn't it something to see her struggling onto the plane carrying all the duty-free grogs and smokes? And you know she was going to open them up the minute she got on board.
Yeah,
she wasn't waiting until she got to New Zealand. She was into them straight away.
Yeah.
Because, as you say, they completely revamped the first-class cabin for the Queen, a bed, dining table, all the other things you mentioned. But, of course, there's one part of a plane that you just can't change, no matter how hard you try. Now, I don't know about you, but I just can't imagine the Queen using that little aeroplane toilet.
No.
She's used to a bit of leg room. That thing's no good for her.
And the sceptre would be getting hooked on that little tappy bit with the soap. It'd be a disaster.
There's no room in there at all for a head of state.
No.
None whatsoever.
And you need that little bidet on the side, which, you know, I'm sure they don't have.
No. Where does the wiping boy stand? That's what I want to know. Plus, you know, there's all that sort of trouble. And she's there, and I reckon she's insulted by that little sign that says, don't put paper down the toilet. She's the Queen. She knows what to do with paper. But the funny part is, though, although she has her own separate first-class section away from the other travellers, as soon as she goes into the toilet and locks the door, everyone else in the plane can see that little toilet-occupied light come on. They go, oh, Queen's off for another one. The Queen's busy.
Yes, a bit of a Mexican wave up and down economy.
Exactly.
Yeah, crazy. Because now she'd be on her way to Adelaide, wouldn't she, Steve? Because isn't she driving in the Celebrity Grand Prix?
Yes, she is.
What's going on in Adelaide?
They're hooking up a couple of horses to the front of the car. How can I sum up what's happening in Adelaide? Let's try Little Peter Rabbit had a fly upon his nose. Little Peter Rabbit had a fly upon his nose. Little Peter Rabbit had a fly upon his nose. And he flipped it and he flopped it and it stayed exactly where it was because actually it was a cancerous chancre caused by the rabbit virus that will eventually kill him.
Oh, yes. Here we go. Yes, I know it's rabbit virus mania over there. Give us the drum. What's going on there?
All I can say is run for the hills, Flopsy, Mopsy and Thumper. The virus is coming. The virus is coming. The killer rabbit virus. And no one's safe. Everything. Warner Brothers Movie World has quarantined bugs. The Australian magician industry is just in absolute turmoil because there's something about watch me pull this guinea pig with long artificial felt ears out of my hat that just hasn't got the same ring to it for kiddies. And there's this whole where did this insidious virus come from thing. Well, there are all sorts of rumours. According to some sources, it started when a rabbit slipped with a monkey in Africa and that you can only catch it if you crawl into the wrong warren or an intravenous lettuce user. But you know the situation is drastic when it becomes the source of debate in Parliament. I couldn't help but notice yesterday John Howard stood up and challenged the Prime Minister with, tell us about the rabbits, Paul. It's just a fantastic thing. Now, of course, also, Rundle Mall has just become, Rundle Mall, the centrepiece of Adelaide, the absolute jewel in Adelaide's crown, a place where neo-Nazis can meet and gather in complete freedom,
yeah.
A place where all sorts of shenanigans get up to, but it's become a battlefield with Adelaide's balloon war.
Oh, no, what's going on there? Not clowns!
Clown.
Not trouble with clowns. Wherever there's trouble, you're 99 Luff balloons.
Yes, I wouldn't know. I didn't get to hear it.
Oh, good.
It's escalated into a song. The council is threatening to run balloon buskers out of town. And now, the once private war between Bill the Balloon Man and Jumbo the Clown has flared publicly last week after police intervened when Bill was reported for assaulting Jumbo, committing the ultimate clown indignity and ripping his wig off.
Hang on.
Off his head. You know what I'm saying, Mick? There are some things you just don't do to a clown. Sure, fill his pants with water, throw a bucket of confetti over him, but don't pull his wig off. And then a brawl ensued involving a known costumed hard man, Jumbo's friend Shaky the Clown, who said, quote, after Bill grabbed my wig as well, I kicked him in the bum and he started throwing punches, end quote. Well, the kids loved it. They were going crazy. But Bill the Balloon Man said that he had nothing to do with the attack. It was some other clown and did not order a hitman to carry out the assault. Well, the mall's no longer safe for normal folk. The entertainers and carny types of just running riot and taking... at night, it's a battlefield of mimes and jugglers scrapping for their own bit of... it's like a cross between West Side Story and Circus Boy. And just yesterday, it degenerated into complete gang warfare, pure and simple, when Shaky, Jumbo and 50 of their clown mates cruised past Bill the Balloon Man in a brightly painted Fiat Bambino with a big key on the back. And then from nowhere, down came the windows and bang! They hit him with the soda siphon. That clown didn't stand a chance.
I didn't realise there was so much violence on the streets over in Adelaide. One of those clowning drive-bys.
It's a terrible situation, isn't it? Somebody shouldn't be allowed.
Hit with a pie. Do you reckon they'd be able to pick him out of a lineup? Well, I don't know. I hear it had a happy ending because I hear all the wigless clowns have gone down to the Advanced Clown Hair Studio. Going to have a happy ending. Steve, can you stick around for a while?
I will. I will indeed.
I understand you've got some exciting news for senior citizens who might be listening. That'll be next on Martin Malloy. Malloy, where Steve Bedwell sitting on the panel with us. Steve, you've been head down in the papers. What have you found?
Well, I've read something that's made me feel decidedly uncomfortable. A survey came out in the paper examining the sex habits of the over 65s.
Oh, yeah.
Now, since when does this qualify as news? Now, I'm sure I'm not alone when I say that when I wake up and wander out to the front lawn in my dressing gown in the morning and pick up my paper, I want to know some sports results, perhaps what's happening in Bosnia, perhaps the latest news on Pammy Anderson. The last thing I want, first thing, is to sit down over a cup of tea and be told that Nan and Pop are still at it like a couple of wild dogs in spring. But I must admit, it made for some tremendous... I couldn't put it down once we started.
Yeah,
For instance, Mick and Tay, did you know that 53% of older men compared to 24% of older women are still in a sexual relationship? Now, this tells me one of two things. Either one, the ability men have to exaggerate does not diminish with age. Or two, there's a few old ladies out there getting some mighty good loving. Now, in most papers, a survey would have been enough, but in that paragon of journalistic integrity, the Adelaide Advertiser, they felt compelled to go out and find themselves a couple of 70-year-olds who were still on the job, interview them, and photograph them in bed, John and Yoko style.
Yeah, how exactly did they find them? Any ideas, Steve? Was it just a door knock kind of a deal?
I think it was in the connections part of the paper.
Gotcha.
Stan and Nancy Nichols are their names, and they've proudly proclaimed that they've been experimenting with sex for almost 50 years. Now, I don't know what's been going on in the Nichols' bedroom, but it only took 5 years of experiments by the world's best minds to split the atom. Now, as far as I can tell, what they're up to is much simpler than that.
It's advanced.
Stan and Nancy say, as a 70-year-old people, they like to dress up to play sex games with sexy knickers and exotic lingerie, including a hand-knitted nurse's uniform and some crochetless undies that they made themselves at the Senior Citizens Club, telling the other folks that weren't on the job anymore that they were macrame pot hangers. So they fooled the other old people. But the question I would ask Stan and Nancy is, when you were spilling your guts your crazy monkey dance activities and having your photo taken with your dirty old bunion encrusted yellow curly toenailed feet hanging out from under the doona, did you give any thought to your grandchildren and the absolute bagging they were going to cop at school that day?
Oh, yes.
I don't think you did. Yes. Sex for the over 65s. As far as I'm concerned, I say good on them. If you want it, just do it. But as long as they're still in the workforce, the day they give up work, they should give up sex. Otherwise, the pension is just like the government paying them to lay around in the house all day and do the nasty. And as a taxpayer, I would sleep much sounder knowing my taxes were being spent down the bowls club and not Club X.
Yes.
It's as simple as that.
Well said, Steve, and I've said this before on the program. What these old people need is another dose of national service. Get them out of the bedroom and teach them some discipline.
Obviously, not enough bromide in their tea in the first time round for their national service. They're still at it.
Well, it's good of you to pop in and, frankly, make us all feel a little bit sick. So thanks for that, Steve.
So I was going to offer you my mobile there for a minute when there was trouble. I thought we're all going to be any portable phone you can get hold of, but they seem to have rectified themselves now, and I wish you luck. Godspeed for the rest of the program, chaps.
Yes, now, Steve, just before you go, for our Melbourne listeners, I understand there's a bit of a treat Sunday nights.
Sunday night, 5 to 6, myself.
Martin Malloy and Mick, why is it that I get the feeling if we'd been able to do Gladiators today, we would have heard that song
exactly
well before its appearance in the actual program?
We can't get it down the phone, but we can play it for you live in the studio.
Yeah, now, no prize, I'm afraid, for the programming department, but... anyway, we are assured that the phones are up and running now, and it's time for a bit of this. Okay, thanks, Pete, or as I prefer to call him, the piano man. But, yes, it is the greatest love of all, and it's a tricky one. So think twice before you just punch at the phone.
Oh, yeah, we're going to make sure you know the song.
Yeah.
We're going to make sure you know the song before we even give you the lyrics.
That's
we
right.
Know them.
Because during the ad break, we're going to be giving you an extensive clinic.
Absolutely.
And, hey, you're going to need that pen and paper. Where's the music, Gracie? Safety dance. Quick, get the pen! Hooray! Now!
Oh, yes, I think they've got them.
Thank God. I couldn't have stood another verse of that, but I can stand a verse of The Greatest Love of All featuring Pete Smith and Somebody at Home. Call now if you think you can have a crack at it. 1-800... Malloy, where we're about to crack the lid on the musical melting pot that is Duet with Pete. And Mickey, who have you roped in today?
It's a likeable young chap named Alf. G'day, Alf.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Not too bad at all. Well done. Congratulations. You're through. You're on.
I am.
Now, then. Alfie, you much of a Whitney Houston fan?
Yeah, I've seen her a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about Pete Smith? Do you follow his work?
Well, I don't know. I think I can.
Yeah, okay. We're about to be embroiled in it. Yeah, there's no escaping it now. We're going to let you have a crack at the greatest love of all. Are you fit and ready?
Yeah. Okay. I think so.
Chookers, Alf. Here we go.
Here we go.
Fire up the show, Ben. Take it away, guys.
I believe the children are our future.
Teach them well and let them lead the way.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
Give them a sense of pride.
To make it easier,
let the children's laughter
remind us how we used to be. I decided long ago
never to walk in anyone's shadow.
If I fail, if I succeed,
at least as I believe,
no matter what they take from me,
they can't take away my dignity.
Because the greatest love of all
is happening to me.
Found the greatest love of all
inside of me.
Oh, how'd I go?
Alf, you brought a tear to the eye here in the studio.
Touched the heart, did I?
Oh, yes. People are just bucketing out and here in the Vegas lounge. People are just calling for the tissues. That's a sensational bit of work.
Alf, you must have been a bit weird, felt a bit weird when you were saying the line, "They can't take away my dignity," as you were singing there on the other end of a two-hander with Pete. Are you calling from a public phone by any chance?
No, calling from home.
Yeah, good on you. That's advisable.
You got an audience there?
No, just myself.
Well, it was a wonderful performance.
Okay, and for your efforts, you've got firstly the Die Hard prize pack.
Choice.
And are you from New Zealand, Alfie?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, the Queen's over there, so I decided to come over here, you see.
Yeah, I see. They can't take away your dignity. Thanks for playing today. And guess what? I think we've got the points tallied up, Mickey.
It was going to be an 8, but from New Zealand, 7.
Oh, 7. You're still in with a chance, Alf. That's good news. you're in the draw.
Cool, thank you.
Well, Ford on you, Alfie. And we'll be drawing that November 17th. And you and I think there's only a couple of other people from this segment in the draw, but you're in with a chance.
Beauty.
Thanks for playing along. We'll
thank
be
you.
Back next week with a whole new selection of duets with Pete right here. With It's All Right, and we've had a fair bit of, legal kind of news. We've had a fair bit of, news about goings on in politics, and we've had a fair bit of show business news this week. Well, now today, I think really it's been the royal edition, hasn't it? Because we've had Prince Charles, we've had the Queen. Have you got anything on Prince Rainier of Monaco?
We're virtually combining them all at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Legal action, royals, politics. Listen to this. Prince Rainier, he's the head cheese over at in Monaco.
He's right. The big cheese. I don't think he likes being called the head cheese, but
and as you're about to find out, he's not a man you should upset.
No.
Prince Rainier has slapped a waiter who made jokes about the Monaco royal family at a gala honouring the late Princess Grace. Tim Ward, who doubles as a comic and waiter, listen to this, at the Pomp, Duck and Circumstance restaurant.
Right. Yeah, where you going? I just see you down the Pomp, Duck and Circumstance. All right, see you down there. Good on you, mate. Down the Pomp. Yeah, Pomp, Duck. Pomp, Duck and Circumstance.
That's what it's called. What would you say?
I'm going now.
Is that what you say to the cab
hurry
driver?
Hurry up and get to the inn so I can go.
Is that what you'd say to the cab driver?
Yeah.
Where to, mate? Pomp, Duck and Circumstance.
Just get laughed at.
Anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, Tim Ward, he's a waiter and a comic down there. He's pointed to Prince Rainier's son Albert and said, "Hey, look at the little piggy prince eating with his fingers.
All right.
You're Prince Albert now, but if there were elections, you'd be Plumber Albert." Yeah, he might be, but I'm sure as hell he wouldn't be as annoying as if he was Wacky Waiter Albert. That would be the one to tear it. He's a comic and a waiter tone. Yeah. There's a deadly combination in my mind.
Yeah.
Isn't
it? Yeah.
There's your next Bond villain.
That's right there.
Right there. Anyway, afterwards, Ward threw a roll at Prince Rainier's partner. I'm starting to understand the duck bit in the title now. Because once the pastries start flying, you go, I get it. Threw a roll at the head of Prince Rainier's partner. It was bouncing off a noggin. And, well, basically that was enough for Prince Rainier. And he's just gone up and done something each and every one of us has wanted to do at some stage, and that's roll up the sleeves, haul off, and belt the wacky waiter right in the schnoz.
Yeah, you're right, Mickey. I have to say, I've never thought of Prince Rainier as a role model. But anyone who'll actually go the slap on a wacky waiter, for mine, deserves a round of applause. Who amongst us haven't been enjoying a quiet meal with a few mates when suddenly a dork in board shorts and a pirate hat runs, or possibly unicycles, through the restaurant, hitting a saucepan with a ladle going, "Okay, who's having a birthday?" That's the time for affirmative action. Just get off the skates and bring me something to eat, will you? If I wanted inane comic banter, I'd tune into Martin Malloy.
Yeah, well said.
But on your Prince Rainier, and speaking of going the slap, people, get close up to your radio because time for a treat. It's time to give your stereo an aerobic workout.
Hi, Beats.
Man on the Moon, that's REM on Martin Malloy as we prepare to draw the whole thing to a close for another week, folks. But as you know, the Army, the people of the Army, who like to be known as the Army,
the Edge,
they really can't, they can't stand us to end the show without one particular, it's a ritual, that's what it is. It's a ritual we go through every week, and they help us out by setting up a little segment called the Martin Malloy Comedy Incinerator, where we take all the bad gags we didn't have time for during the week, and we just pack them into the incinerator, all courtesy of the Army.
The Edge.
And feel free to join in at home when we do that, people, but let's get things started. Well, it's
incinerator time.
Well, I think the man from the Army's outside having a bit of a smoke, but
we're off and running.
The proceedings are underway as we reveal to you people that Queen Elizabeth's first commercial air flight to New Zealand this week was fairly uneventful, although Her Majesty did receive a telling off from cabin staff when she failed to return her husband to the upright position before landing.
A mother of five who admitted having sex with 12-year-old schoolboys during a children's sleepover at her home last year was yesterday placed on probation for 3 years, or, as she prefers to look at it, 6 semesters. Model Paula Barbieri this week dumped longtime boyfriend O.J. Simpson, blaming their lack of time together on O.J.'s relentless search for the real killers of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. O.J. confirmed the news in a brief statement from the 9th at Pebble Beach. British TV star Paula Yates and her In Excess rock star boyfriend Michael Hutchence frightened all and sundry when they turned up at a Halloween party in Dublin dressed as a macabre pair of sideshow freaks. Later, they changed into their Halloween costumes. Oh, dear. Former US President Ronald Reagan made a rare public appearance this week to open the new Los Angeles County Research Institute for Alzheimer's Disease. He opened the institute yesterday at 2 p.m., again at 3 p.m., 3:30, and this morning at 8:15. And I think that's our cue to get out of here. Fire up the incinerator, Gracie. Let's get rid of them once and for all. Mr. Skaggs, as we say thanks to our guest today, Steve Bedwell, and to all our gladiators. They didn't get to air, but they went to a fair bit of trouble, so good on you, team. As always, a big end-of-week salute to our producer, Gracie, our assistant, Emma, all the button pushers around the network, the woman who does the voices we simply can't, Kath Garrett, and the man in the glass booth, Mr. Music, Pete Smith. We'll be back next week with, amongst others, KD Lang, Anthony Morgan, David Caruso, our old buddy Judith Lucy, and news of something that's coming, people. Something big. Something brown. Can't say much more than that, but until then, we'll leave you with this live coverage of the Queen's visit to New Zealand. And we're off and...